following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hello, everyone. It's Yang Wu. I'm senior producer on the Hearthstone team. You're listening to A Worthy Opponent.
Everybody, and welcome to the long-awaited turn 100 of A Worthy Opponent, the longest-running turn game in history. We are a podcast based on the Blizzard game Hearthstone. We are casual players and having lots of fun. I am Black Lace, and in the studio with me this evening is Ugly Brute.
Hello, happy 100th birthday.
Yes, I'm so excited for tonight's episode. I'm just like completely blown away because also in this studio tonight is Micmac from the past.
Well met.
Well met. We're going to actually hear the end is coming at the end of the episode again. And also Autumn's Bean.
Call her Tweety. She'll find it real funny. I promise.
I've got it too,
but Micmac is the super guest, so let's let him answer.
Go for it.
Well, it would be the Druin Legendary, which, her name escaped me right now.
Avenia?
Aviana, that's it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Aviana.
You got it. 9 casting cost, Legendary, 5/5, Druid only, your minions cost 1. I had call 4 of the Legendaries out the other day after playing her. Boy, did I lose bad.
But wait, there's more. We're not finished yet. Because with us in the studio this evening is Yang Wu, a member of Team 5 and the senior producer for Hearthstone. He's got his own credits card, which is a lovely little dwarf that if you look at the credits of Hearthstone, you will see is a, as we usually do, 5 casting cost, 3/2 creature, plus 3 attack and charge. Yang Wu. Yang, thank you for being here with us. How are you?
Thank you for having me. Congratulations on your 100th episode. I have you guys loaded up on my podcast app and
I
love listening to you guys in the commute. So this is a pleasure to be talking to you guys today.
Great.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for being here. So based on the credits card, since I started talking about it, I have to ask you, the picture on the card is a dwarf. Is that dwarf the character you play the most or had played in the past? Was it inspired, the dwarf paladin on your credits card, inspired by your own character in WoW?
Yeah, so when we had this idea of making a card out of all the people in the core team that's working on the game, Ben Brode would come around and there was a pile of art bank art we could choose from. So when he approached me about what I wanted on my card, I wanted to speak to kind of the producer side of me, and it's really a role that's there to support other members of the team. And it really made me think about my character in World of Warcraft, which is a Dwarven Paladin, and I really enjoy healing and tanking. So looked through the art bank and found a holy paladin dwarf that I thought really looked like my character in World of Warcraft, so I picked that one.
Oh, that's awesome. So you tank for Hearthstone.
You could say that. Maybe I heal for Hearthstone. Definitely not DPSing, that's for sure.
That's awesome. Thank you. Ugly Brute, you had some questions.
A question. When I meet people and make friends on Hearthstone, Yongwu,
I often ask them how they got into Hearthstone, and they'll say, oh, you know, I got into it in beta, or I got into it just after it got released. But I can't ask you that because you were actually there from the very genesis of the whole thing. But how did you get involved, though, in the making of Hearthstone?
Actually, I wasn't there from the very, very beginning. In its inception, people like Ben Brode were there thinking about Hearthstone and trying to figure out what it means for Blizzard to make a digital collectible card game. And that's been going on for a while. I have been with Blizzard for over 6 years now, but at the start, I worked on the Battle.net team. I helped launch StarCraft 2, and after that, Diablo 3. And when that was happening, actually, a good chunk of the Hearthstone team was helping out with some of these launches, and I got to know a lot of the wonderful people on the Hearthstone team while we worked together on StarCraft 2, and especially my current boss, production director Jason Chase. So he and I have been working closely ever since StarCraft 2. So when I wrapped on D3, and he was starting to get his Hearthstone team organized to make a big push to make a company alpha, it was a really great time for me to join the team. So I joined the team about, I want to say about 3 years ago now. I really love the team and everyone who's part of it, and I also love collectible card games, so this was a perfect match.
Awesome.
Alright, Autumn's Bane?
Okay, so we know that there are 9 heroes that you can play in Hearthstone, and we know you've played a paladin in Warcraft, but what's your favorite hero to play in Hearthstone?
You know, I love playing classes that the community feels are more challenging to play. For a while, this was Priest. So I played a lot of Priest earlier on. My first golden hero was actually Priest.
We won't hold that against you, by the way.
I'm being very quiet here.
I see. They're good priests. Not all priests are just sitting around stealing all your stuff. There's a respectable way to play priest as well, I'm sure. Because I have fun memories of like shenanigans with Wild Pyromancer, Circle of Healing, and using the North Shard Cleric to draw a lot of cards. That kind of crazy combos that you could pull off was really appealing to me. I also used to play a lot of Hunter when the class wasn't as popular. I had a secret Hunter deck that was really fun. I guess overall, I'm just a sucker for underdog. So I try to play classes that are maybe perceived as underdogs and have a great time with it.
I appreciate that, because I'm the same way.
Underdog.
Yeah, I always like choosing classes that are just, I don't know. I like playing a class that just is at a disadvantage. I don't know why. I do that in all other games, including Hearthstone sometimes. I just have more fun doing that.
Yeah, and a lot of times people feel that there's one correct way to play, or, this is the best deck, or this is the best class. It would be incorrect to play another class or that, And for me, kind of treading a path that's least walked and looking at cards that are maybe being ignored at the moment and kind of piecing together something that can at least match or maybe beat the meta, that's really exciting for me.
I find it's fun. Lately, I've been kind of going backwards, and I've been playing older decks that I still have that don't have the newer cards in it, or maybe just have one or two, and are based on the way the meta was, a year or two ago. My Paladin deck is very old, doesn't have all the fun secrets to it, and when I start playing that, people don't know what to do, because I'm not using the cards they're expecting to come out of a Paladin anymore. So I like kind of going backwards.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. And when you play a deck that's not conventional, I think you get a big edge, because people don't know what to expect.
Yeah, they're like, what?
People encounter this. Yeah, exactly. They're like, wow, you're playing that class? I don't know what to do. Or you're playing this class. You must be playing this deck. Oh my god, you're playing cards that isn't on this list of best decks.
Right.
It's really confusing, because I'm playing assuming you're going to have those cards. And you don't. And I think that can be a very significant edge that a lot of players do not take advantage of.
I had an experience of that this week, actually. I had a a rogue who played a questing adventurer, and that threw me so much. I can't remember what the other thing was on the board, but I had to decide what I was going to kill out of the questing adventurer and the other thing, and it was quite hard to make the decision because I hadn't seen questing adventurer for so long.
Yeah, exactly. And that, like, the moments where the other player, because, you know, usually when you play a game of Hearthstone, you play a card, you play the card, you play a card, you kind of get into this rhythm, but sometimes you do something that's out of whack, and the other guy just stops for like 10 seconds. Like, I love that moment. It's like, yeah, you think I'm playing this deck, and then bam, I play this card, and they're just like, you can see them hovering over your card, and then they hover over their card, and then they hover over your card, like, what is this? Yeah, and that's like, I get such a kick out of that. I blew his mind, you know? Like, already I feel I have won.
He has to read the text like 2 or 3 times to really understand what's going to happen. All right, so if I do this, this is going to happen. It's like, Cult Master. Wait, what is Cult Master again?
And I love that the hover lets you see they're hovering, too. The fact that you know exactly where their cursor is, that you've really confounded them. It's just awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's the telegraphing feature is so key. I didn't realize how... Because designers wanted that very early on, and I was like, yeah, that seems nice, but it's also, you know, a chunk of work to get done. But once we put it in, I was like, wow, this is what makes you really feel like you're playing in front of the other player. And it just feels so much more interactive, and it's so expressive. You can kind of feel the shock or anger or whatever, just kind of the way they're interacting with their own cards and hovering over things.
I can remember you guys saying in another interview a long time ago, I can remember you guys saying you actually even thought of creating a minion that if you moused over him, you got damaged.
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't heard that one. That's not nice. Hey,
like, what is this card,
bit
Al?
Bit of BM.
What is this card, Al?
Knick-knack?
Yes, ma'am.
You're up next.
I'm better up. So my question is, Yongwoo, if you could have like full control of like Hearthstone within a year from now, all right. So if you were Captain Greenskin and of the USS Hearthstone, okay, where would you like to see Hearthstone a year from now? I mean, this is pure speculation. Not going to hold you anything, of course, but just curious what you would like to see happen to Hearthstone within a year.
Well, I would make our weapon +1 attack and +1 durability.
Aye, aye, Captain.
You know, the biggest thing I want, and this might sound cheesy, is I want everyone in the world to give Hearthstone a try. And I know there's still a lot of things that are not necessarily making that possible. So, you know, we want to continue to make the game more accessible to new players. We want to continue to translate the games into new languages. And we want to continue to make compelling content that's exciting for veteran players, but also continues to draw in new players. So that's really something I'm personally focusing on over the next, plus one years.
So Hearthstone world domination.
I don't know about domination, but I genuinely believe that once people give the game a try, they really enjoy it. And I know it's of a genre that can be maybe a little scary. It's a strategy game, it's a flexible card game, but you know, once people come into contact with the game and they give it a shot, they really have such a great time. And to me, that's the focus. How do we get everyone to give it a shot? You know, play through the tutorial and play some games. Because I know they're going to have a good time and make friends and be part of this growing community.
Especially because the way you at Blizzard, you all at Blizzard, have this great way of taking games that are so playable at the beginning. I mean, you don't have to have much skill or knowledge. You could just get right in there and play. And if you want to be good, then you have to put in many hours of time and study and practice. But anyone can play, so you have this environment where you can just be casuals, like us, or you could be the type that wants to go all the way and win, you know, a year's salary from the tournament at BlizzCon.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, sometimes we divide players as hardcore or casual, but you know, different people are hardcore about the game in different ways, right? Like, what does it mean to be hardcore? Does it mean, you know, you're very skilled and you're competing at the highest level? Does it mean that you're spending a lot of time playing? It's just a matter of hours? Or does it mean that you're really passionate about the game and you're making a podcast about it, like, every week, every other week? I think everybody is hardcore about, you know, the game in different ways, and I think it just means that they're really passionate about it and they're having a great time. So, yeah, just, you know, let's get everyone to try Hearthstone, and then, you know, they'll engage with it in the way that resonates with them, and that's what I love.
You know, I was in a shop not too long ago doing some work to my computer. I mean, obviously it's a computer shop, but I just, you know, said Hearthstone in, you know, casual conversation with a guy that worked there, and the next thing you said was, everyone get in here. So it's just amazing how many people out there know and understand Hearthstone, know about the game. So, I mean, you guys do a great job at putting it out there. So, thank you so much for making this brilliant game. I love it.
Oh, thank you for playing.
And just an aside, I wanted to throw this out there because Ugly Brute thinks nobody knows. The card you were talking about was the Auto Pecker 4000. Deal one damage to any player who mouses over this minion.
Just very quickly, too, based on your desire to get everyone to try Hearthstone, we all love the Hearthstone ads. The ads that you guys have created are really good. They capture the atmosphere and the humorous side and everything. But would you agree with me, Yongwoo, that one of the newest and best ways to advertise a game is Twitch? Because I was having an interview with Pornyhoff last week, and he said that he fell in love with it by watching it on Twitch and then trying to get himself a beta key.
You know, I think people encounter Hearthstone in different ways. I think Twitch is definitely one of them. It's a growing community. It's a great place for people to get a taste of what a Hearthstone gameplay experience can be like, a great place to meet other people who play Hearthstone and learn how to play. I'm also really interested in people trying out Hearthstone who may not even consider themselves gamers, right? And maybe those people aren't necessarily watching Twitch every day.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And, you know, how do we, you know, how do we, you know, let them know about Hearthstone, and how do we get them to try it out? Now, that's something I do think about a lot.
So, cool. Out of all of the expansions and adventures that have been released over the past couple of years, what is your favorite either expansion or adventure?
Oh man, I mean, it's like asking me to pick my favorite kid.
Well, everyone has a favorite, they just don't necessarily say it out loud.
Is that true? I only have one right now, so...
No, we only have one, too, but that's what I hear.
You know, we've been saying this for a while, but Hearthstone, you know, for me personally especially, has been a learning and growing experience, and every time we make a release, I feel we get better, we get smarter. So right now, I'm most excited about the latest expansion. We put a lot of our learnings from the past, and you know, especially from development and production side, we've really kind of streamlined the way we go about building these expansions, and the Grand Tournament is the kind of culmination of everything we've learned so far. You know, I think the cards are really exciting. This is by far the best board we've made. And all across the board, including effects and gameplay and all of that, I think we've done a really good job.
I have to thank you for making it so that if you hit the target with little arrows while your opponent is, you know, waiting for the point where his fuse is going to go off because he just wants to sit there and wait and wait and make you wait, you can actually bang around on the board and shoot things and blow things up and fire lasers at them just to keep yourself occupied while you're waiting for them to do their turn is awesome. I just have to say that.
Yeah, totally. We have so much fun making those. We call those clickables. We have so much fun making those clickables. We have a really talented effects team. We have, like, Zwick, Kyle, and Becca, and Thompson and other guys, and they always come up with the coolest stuff. I mean, in the latest board, in the Grand Tournament, for instance, the target dummy has a lot of physics built into it, so it's not just on and off, like the way you click it makes it bounce in different ways. this is something awesome. People have been discovering, but the kind of archery training target, you can shoot arrows at it, and
yeah, that's back... what I love doing.
Yeah, in the back end, what you don't realize, this is per session, but more you shoot the arrows, you're actually leveling up behind the scenes, so your arrows become more and more accurate. And they're just like little details like that that we have so much fun with, and we put it in there, and maybe players don't even notice it. You know, like the placards on the upper left hand corner of the board, where if you deal a lot of damage to your opponent, the little mechanical people raise up these scorecards.
That's cool.
10, 9.
Cool.
Or sometimes they dance, I've noticed.
Yeah, sometimes they dance if you do something cool. And, you know, these are types of details that maybe not everyone's going to notice, but we have so much fun with it.
I've got to say, it's my favorite expansion.
Do you have a favorite board?
Mine too. I want to especially thank you for allowing me to finally play my King Crush by enabling hunters to not have to play to the face to survive.
Can't play your buzzard, though.
No, we won't talk about the buzzard.
Also, well, I don't know if you watched the regionals this weekend, but Jab versus Trump, Jab actually played the buzzard. And to great effect. He actually used that to draw a lot of cards and refresh his hand. It was really cool, because I haven't seen that in a while.
We're going to move on. Ugly Brute's got the next question.
Yeah, Yongwu, my next question is regarding Brawls. It's a fantastic new feature that you guys have added with Brawl. But I just noticed that for the first 8 weeks, we had a brand new Brawl every week. And then in the 9th week, we got reintroduced to the Great Summoner. And then shortly after that, we did Encounter the Crossroads again. But it was fresh because we had the TGT cards included at that time. But my question to you is, were all the Brawls designed prior to the Brawl feature going live? Or are there still new ones being created as you go along?
Yeah, we had a big batch that we were excited to release with Brawl when the feature came online for the first time, but obviously we didn't build every Brawl there will ever be before we went live with the feature. So that's something we are continuing to concept and play test and build. What's really exciting about making new Brawls is we get to make these little mini games that last for 1 week and maybe repeat it once or twice later, but it kind of gives us a lot of opportunity to try something new and wacky. So we have a lot of fun with that, with new patches. Because unlike these cards and adventures, they take a long time to put together. So they come in these bigger bursts, right? So for us to be able to have some of these smaller patches have these brand new game modes, it's really exciting. And, you know, we'd like to repeat some of them, especially if they're really fun, because not everyone gets to play Brawl every week, or maybe they're new players and they haven't gotten to check something out. Or like we were saying, maybe we introduce a lot of new cards, let's say like Grand Tournament, and that really changes things. Something like Crossroads. So we do that. But we're definitely excited to continue to make brand new Brawls. Like recently you guys got to see Boombot versus Noitron. That was really cool.
Yeah, classic.
We just did like a funky one where you keep top decking the best card for your Earth.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting.
Were you thinking Rock'em Sock'em Robots when you did that?
I think something like that was in the art description, actually. the designers would design these things and then they would make the art descriptions like, hey, for this mode, draw something that looks like blank. And yes, our childhood toy memories were definitely part of the inspiration for that.
And Yongwu, just want to say hats off to the art department too, because those chalkboard illustrations for the Brawls are fantastic.
Oh, they're so cute.
Yeah, those are drawn by Jamaro Kindred. He's super talented. He's been doing all of our chalkboard images. Yeah, he's been doing a fantastic
job. He's doing a great job.
Last question we're going to ask tonight is Autumn's Bane's ball of tea here.
Okay.
Ball of tea. What's that?
Ball of spiders?
What a ball! Oh no!
Hey, I like the ball of spiders.
Me too.
I have one in my window.
Yeah, ugly door cape set. Anyway, we asked you about your favorite hero, and you kind of got into this a little bit too, but your favorite decks to play, do you have any that you've, like, loved to play all throughout that you've never taken apart? Or do you like to make all new ones? Or are there certain, do you prefer aggro to control? Or what kind of decks do you like to play most?
Yeah, one of the joys I have with Hearthstone is to try to make my own deck and see how far I can get. You know, right now I've been messing around with Rogue a lot. I have this mech Rogue deck that uses Buccaneer with mechs and Cogmaster's Wrench. Cogmaster's Wrench is basically a 3 mana, 1/3 weapon that gets +2 attack when you have a mech on the table, so it's 3 mana for a 3/3 weapon, which is really cool. And you know, you combine that with things like Buccaneer that then becomes a 4/3 weapon, and I have a Captain Greenskin in there, and that becomes a 5/4 weapon, and then you throw in Deadly Poison and Oil and things like that. You easily end up with these, 7/3, like 8/3 weapons, and together with your mech, you're just crushing the opponent. It's super fun, and I've been having a lot of fun with that, together with things like Blade Master. So it's an unusual deck, and I'm not going to say it's like the best deck ever made, but messing around with these types of new interaction that you can get from cards that are maybe less used right now, that's where I have fun.
So when you get that weapon up really high, have you had your heart broken with an acidic Swamp Ooze yet?
Oh yeah, all the time. Worst is when you build these weapons and it ends up belonging in the museum. But
oh yeah,
Harrison Jones.
But there are ways to work around that too, where I keep using the weapon as I'm building it. So I have a 4/3 weapon which I use right away, then it's a 4/2 weapon, and worst comes to worst, I lose 2 charge. But kind of increasing the power of the weapon as I'm using it helps me mitigate some of that. And I have so many things that are buffing weapons that my opponent would often use the Swamp Ooze or Harrison Ford. Harrison Jones.
Close enough.
Yeah, Harrison Jones earlier in the game. Bait them out a little early, and that's fun too.
Well,
I can just imagine. Sorry, you go.
No, actually, we're running out of time, Ugly Brute.
Sure.
So finish
that's
what
fine.
You were saying.
Oh, I was just very quickly going to say I can envision Yongwu sometimes, if he ever gets tilted playing, saying, "Why did I even create that minion?"
Actually, I'm a producer, not a designer, so I can be like, "Man, why did so and so in the design team make this card?" Maybe it was Mike Dene or Ben Bro.
What was he thinking?
Peter Whalen. Yeah, it's like, I will. I guess I can go into the office the next day and yell at those guys.
Okay. Well, we have a contest we're running for the 100th episode, and we had gone through a bunch of the cards. What we were doing is not cards, but screenshots. We had people send us a bunch of screenshots that were just unusual or
imaginative
and fun. So we asked people to send us the screenshots, and we were going to choose the best screenshot and give them a prize of a headset. So what we're going to ask you to do is to be our random number generator. We have 5 that we have chosen as winners of the contest. We have 5 that we can't decide between. The winner and 4 runner-ups will be posted to the Holosuite Media website, if not tonight, sometime this week. So we're going to ask you to pick a number from 1 to 5. We have the people listed out that are the runners-up, and the number you pick is the number of the winner. So I'm rolling the dice now, and it's coming up.
I'll go ahead and pick 3.
All right. 3 is listener Bot Dragon, Wade. It's a priest that is basically blowing up the board, and he's got a handful, I think, of 8 cards, and they're all zeros.
Nice.
So
casting
that,
cost.
Yeah, the casting cost on every one of them was 0, and it was.
He's got a 0 Chromagus in there, even, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got just a phenomenal hand, and priest. What can I say? I'm not going to say any more than the worst word priest, but thank you so much for joining us tonight. We'll
Absolutely.
Get the picture and the headset and the information out to Bot Dragon. Congratulations, Bot Dragon. Young, thank you for being on the show with us. It's been great having you chatting with you, and thank you.
And a dream come true, because when we first started doing this podcast almost 2 years ago, 100 episodes ago, we said, wouldn't it be great if one day someone from Blizzard could be on our show? And so thank you for making that come true for us.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
Youngly.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me again. I listen to you guys on my phone all the time during my commute, so it was really cool to be invited over, and keep up the good work. And maybe
likewise,
on your 200th episode, we'll get someone else on here.
That would be awesome.
That would be great. Or even
have
you
a great
again.
Night. Yeah.
All right, have
thank
a great
you.
Night, guys. Thank
Too
you for
you. Good night.
All right, so this week's Brawl, since we were talking about Brawls, it's time for clobbering time. This week was the Clockwork Card Dealer. Go for it, Autumn's Bane. This is your cup of tea.
I have to catch my breath. I'm just...
I know.
I can quit podcasting now. I never have
to. I'm a little weak in the knees myself.
It's like, awesome. As soon as he left, I like got this butterfly in my stomach that's been there dormant, and now it's alive again. It's like...
Oh, I had it at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, yes. So... Geek moment. So
yes, geek grins.
So, clobberin' time.
Clobberin' time.
It was really weird this week. I think it was the clobberin' time. It was, I forgot the name of it, but basically, you on turn one, you were guaranteed to draw a one casting cost card. Turn two, you'd draw two, etc., etc. So, I had a quest to do some paladins, so I decided to just make a paladin deck. And as so often happens, I won the first one. I tried a couple more, lost those, and then said, screw this, I already got my pack, and I stopped. But my strategy was to take the cards that I really, really thought were a must-have, that I wanted to have guaranteed, and I didn't put any other cards at the same casting cost, so that I was guaranteed to get that card on the turn I wanted. And that paid off for me. And I don't remember the nuances of my strategy, but it worked and I won, but it wasn't such a great strategy that it won more than once. But did you other guys play?
I did.
Mic-Mac, I want to hear from you. Ugly Brute never plays. He's a bad puppy.
So I decided to kind of go about this a bit defensively. I had a warrior quest. Warrior's my favorite hero, so of course I'm going to play it, right? Well, I wanted to... I looked at, you know, what the rules were for the Brawl this week, and it was, you know, you play a card on turn for that mana cost, or you draw a card of that mana cost on turn, right? So I put a bunch of, like, defensive cards in there, like Execute, Shield Slam, Bash, Fire War Axe, Gore Howl. My win condition for this deck was on turn 10. I only had one 10 mana card, Baron Rin, okay? He comes out, and then he draws three more cards, and they were just all big boy minions, like 9 drops and 8 drops, Ragnaros. So turn 10, my opponent now has 4 minions to deal with. So that was my strategy for this brawl, and it worked out very well, surprisingly.
Mine awesome. Was just the pings. I just did I did a little bit of a variation on little Dusty's ping deck. And I actually played it the first two. I lost the third time I won with my mage, and I didn't, except for one card getting rejected, you can't play that card right now. Out of all three games, it wasn't any different than any other game I play. I don't know, because I start with the 1-2 mana cost cards anyway. So by the time it got to the bigger ones, my little guys were already all over the board. So I didn't find it that much different.
I was not overly impressed with this week's brawl compared to some of the others. Because, like you said, it kind of felt like a regular game.
Yep, yep. So that's it for Clobbering Time. We do have news. I'm going to talk to people about the Hearthstone Tavern at BlizzCon. They announced that the BlizzCon is going to be bustling with activity. Basically, they're going to have a real Hearthstone Tavern at the event. They had a small one on stage last year, but they expanded on this. This is an actual...
That was a small one?
Together. Well, it was kind of small. It was the one surrounding
the game.
You mean
the bar and the stools?
Yes, the bar and the stools.
Not the big place where they sat to play, because that was phenomenal.
They're actually doing that again. They're going to have the Hearthstone Tavern at BlizzCon. And help fellow Hearthstone players, young and old, as they partake in the fireside gathering of epic proportions, take a seat by the hearth and enjoy live entertainment while sipping on some Hearthstone-themed refreshments. Be sure to challenge other players in match to get the Fireside Gatherings card back while you're there. Basically, it's going to be going, they're going to be giving out a Hearthstone Gatherings pin that you can wear at this gathering. A few ways you can add the exciting pin to your Blizzard pin collection. You can join a micro tournament where there are 8 to 16 players that test their skills in fast and friendly competition. You bring your own Hearthstone device and battle it out in the best of three single deck tournament format. The top 4 players of the tournament will be awarded the Fireside Gathering pins. Then there are basically, you can take on the creators of Hearthstone in Duel the Devs, where you can go on one-on-one with the talented developers that bring the Hearthstone. If you trump against a Hearthstone developer in a duel, you get your Hearthstone gathering pin as well. And if you think you know Hearthstone, the tavern host will be testing your knowledge throughout the day with Hearthstone trivia. If you're hanging out in the tavern and enjoying something from the refreshment vendor, just playing Hearthstone with friends, keep an eye out for the friendly tavern host, because you never know when they come to your table. Test your knowledge. You answer their trivia correctly, you're going to get a Hearthstone Fireside Gatherings pin. So, of course, you have to be at BlizzCon. I wish we were going, but you have to actually be there. It's located on the second floor of the convention center for those people who are going to going to BlizzCon this year, because there's always room for more by the hearth. And if you're interested in bringing all the fun of Hearthstone Fireside Gatherings to your hometown, as you know, as we've said in the past, you can go to firesidegatherings.com and get more information of hosting your own, but you wouldn't get pins that way.
You think you're going to have a dwarf in there yelling, "Everybody get in
here! Get in here!
File on!"
Maybe. Other news. I like the color purple. And I'm not talking about the movie. I'm just talking about the color purple. Purple's my favorite color, aside from black. But black, they say, isn't a color. So let's talk about
purple. So you like
purple.
The bruising colors.
Yeah, black and blue. Oh, yeah. Ugly Brew, give us purple news.
Yeah, well, as we said last week, as far as the BlizzCon World Championship is concerned, they've already cited the 4 finalists from Europe, the 4 finalists from China, the 4 finalists from Asia or in the South Pacific. And then this weekend just gone by, they had the final one, which was the decider of the 4 that will be going to represent the Americas at BlizzCon. So Purple was the champion. He came through as victorious, and Mick Mack and I will talk about some highlights in a sec, but just to give you the results, there were 8 players that played in the Americas World Championship, the Americas Championship, I should say. Purple has been crowned as the American champion. The other 4 that are going through to BlizzCon are the other 3 that are going through with him are Hot Form, who's Canadian and a fantastic streamer. Mick Mack, have you ever watched Hot Form?
I have, yeah. Not that much. Maybe just 2 or 3 times. But he's really engaging, and I like the way that he has the stream, like the environment that he has in there, too.
Exactly. And one that I haven't heard of, Nias. Nias has gotten through, and another player who no doubt Mick Mack's heard of and many of our listeners, Jab, got through. So it's Purple, Hot Form, Nias, and Jab are representing the Americas at the BlizzCon World Championships when it comes out next month. Now, Mick Mack, what were some highlights you enjoyed watching some of the games over the weekend?
Before you move on to the actual tournament stuff, that's okay. Purple won 10 grand getting this championship. And more important than the 10 grand, he was booted from his team. And we called this, didn't we?
Yeah, we said it was a big mistake.
Yeah, and we were waiting to see if he would turn up and really show his stuff. And he did.
That he did.
Absolutely. Yep. So, commiserations to the team that let him go, and congratulations to Purple.
Right.
Well, I think the biggest highlight from this tournament has to be with Trump versus Jab.
What happened in that game? I didn't see that one.
Oh, it's just unbelievable. So, basically, Trump made a very aggressive stance against Jab, and Jab really only had one out. I think Trump had just single digit hit points, maybe like 5 or 6 or something. And what I'm happening is that he played the Spellslinger. Jab played the Spellslinger, and he's looking for a fireball in his deck. He gets Tracking, the Hunter card. So he plays that. Okay, he plays Tracking, finds his fireball, and hits Trump in the face. But Trump had an opportunity to kind of clear the board and play more defensive, and he played very aggressively. So I know he was very upset about that, but that was... And the clip is all over YouTube. It's on Reddit if you want to watch it as well. But it was really impressive and in the moment. And, you know, obviously you can see both players. They have a little, camera on them, and you can just see the disgust and disappointment in Trump's face and just how excited Jab was to win. And Jab is somebody, of course, you know, a lot of people know Trump. He has teaching videos. He's been around for a very long time. He's a very, you know, prominent streamer. Jab is somebody that is always on the top charts for the rank ladder. He's an amazing player. He doesn't stream all that much, but he does every now and then. And if you can, check him out, because he's really, really good.
And you do feel for Trump a little bit there, because, I mean, to get as far as the America's qualifiers and then to lose to that kind of good luck really must sting.
It does, but you know what? That's, you know, the RNG is the best and worst part about Hearthstone. It's the best when you're on the end where you win, and it's the worst when you're on the end where you lose. Yeah, but it makes it so much fun. I mean, I think the RNG is the best part about the game, though, by far.
Yeah, you're right. It makes the stories, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And did you get a chance to watch any games that featured purple?
Not so much. I mean, I work all these off hours, so every time I would hop in, I would have to hop out because of work other things I had to do. But I didn't get to see that too much, no.
Well, look, I won't go into details too much, guys, but let me just say that Purple was like, he was next level genius last weekend. It was unbelievable. He was making moves that were practically not even thought of. I saw a couple of his games where the commentators were trying to figure out what he should do, and the moves that he made, once they saw him make them, it opened up to them what he was up to. And people like, Frodan and Savitz, you know, top people that have seen a lot of games, were amazed at the decisions he was making and how smart they were. And his math was incredible. Whenever he played, whenever I saw him play the Patron Warrior, his math was incredible. There was one, he had a really complicated... his opposition was still at like 20 health, and he had a really complicated lethal that he saw within a matter of seconds and played it out. And everyone was watching to see how he was going to get through the taunt, how he was going to build his Frothing Berserker up to the right amount of damage, and he did it all in time, and he figured it out within a few seconds. So that guy is an incredible player.
Yeah, that's
isn't
impressive.
It amazing that all the top people turn out to be great mathematicians in this game?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Math is a huge part of it. RNG, but also math is a huge part. Well, math is a huge part of the RNG as well. All I want to say as commiserations is Hot Form. I love Hot Form, but he did defeat my favorite player of all time, which is VLPS. So VLPS, if you're listening, I love you, man, and you're going to be there next year.
Any other Hearthstone tournament news, Ugly Brew? Is that pretty much...
No, that was pretty much it for this weekend, yeah.
Pretty impressive, though. I love when the underdog wins.
Exactly.
Hey, we have an email I have to read, because, as everybody knows, we do the embarrassing moments, we do the plays of the week. And somebody sent an embarrassing moment which was a little bit out of the loop. I'm going to read it to you all. Hello, thank you for a great podcast and making my day at work much more bearable every week. Since last time you had no embarrassing moments, I decided to tell you mine. That way you can't get any better. That way if you can't get any better, your 100th episodes can still have some. It's embarrassing not to have one with Mr. Wu around. This moment is not from the game itself, but it involves Hearthstone nonetheless. A few days ago, I was out for dinner, meeting with some friends. As we talked, the movie Blade Runner came up. Since none of my friends knew about it, weird, I tried to tell them about well-known actors who stars in it. Of course, from the top of my head, I said Rutger Hauer and Harrison Jones. My friend, who also plays Hearthstone, started to laugh and called me a nerd. I was a sad, embarrassed panda that evening as he continued to explain to the others about me not being able to distinguish between an actor and a Hearthstone card. If this doesn't fit your embarrassing moments, since it's not from the game, it's okay and just ignore it. Thanks again for a great podcast. Congratulations on your 100th episode and keep up the great work. That is an embarrassing moment worth mentioning.
That is a classic.
Over and above the extremes that we've seen in game.
And he can rejoice that Yongwoo even joined him in that category tonight.
Yes,
because
we were
poor old Yongwoo.
Yeah.
Poor old Yongwoo said Harrison Ford instead of Harrison Jones. So they share each other's embarrassment there.
Yeah, I thought about that. We were talking about the Harrison Jones card a couple of times, and I was like, wait till later. I'm going
to
be talking about
this email.
I had
to cover my mouth for that one.
I know. That's great.
That movie belongs in a museum.
Absolutely. Classic.
So absolutely wonderful. So that's the embarrassing moments. We are talking about having our own tournament in the fall. We're going to be announcing soon because we just walked into fall, did we not?
Yeah,
I believe, fall into fall.
I think I last did. Year it was in November, so it'll be November again.
Hey guys, I haven't.
Yeah?
I haven't
have
walked
what?
In the fall. I'm sorry. I'm in springtime over here.
No, that's right.
That's because you're upside down.
Or you know, are we upside down?
No, he's upside down with his spiders and snakes.
No, we're in the northern hemisphere, so if you look at a map, we're on top.
All the spiders and snakes have slid down to the bottom.
Where they belong.
Yeah, I wish. So yes, we're going to be announcing next episode. We're going to have chosen a date and a deadline. So anybody interested in our tournament, we're going to be running a tournament too. We may have some more prizes in store, surprises in store for you for the future as well. I did play with a deck this week. I guess we have enough time for me to talk about it.
Whoa, you play with a deck?
I thought I was
the one that plays with decks.
No, she took
my God.
Your place.
Did you stop listening to the podcast?
No way.
You just gave yourself away. I'm ashamed of you.
No, I knew that you've been playing with decks now. I've just been jealous.
The crazy thing is, Micmac, did you ever play somebody else's deck and like it so much you played it for weeks on end?
I'm still playing Dusty's deck.
She will not shut up about this mage deck already.
Oh my God, it's the best thing ever.
I can't remember who sent it in, but I was playing this Demon Zoo deck for quite some time, like 3 or 4 weeks after I tested it. It was a good deck.
Yeah. I didn't have that luck this week, however. I was playing with, I'll say, Matthew's deck. And I did have to do one little replacement. I have to tell you that I actually had to create a Mysterious Challenger and 2 Musters for Battle to play with this deck. I actually created those cards because so many people have been wanting me to play Paladin and Musters for Battle, and I haven't been able to play with their decks. So I
did you get your little Christmas tree up?
I did. But you know
nice.
What? Let me tell everybody what these did. He called it Silverhand. 2 Blessings of Might. 2 Eye for an Eye. 2 Noble Sacrifices. 2 Redemptions. 1 Argent Squire. 2 Goldshire Footmen. 2 Holy Light. 2 Knife Jugglers. 2 Muster for Battles. 2 Silverhand Regents. 2 Warhorse Trainers, 2, I can't read this, Mains of the Lake, I'm looking at really small fonts, I'm sorry folks, 2 Quartermasters, 1 Recruiter, oh I'm sorry, 2 Recruiters because 1 was gold, so 2 Recruiters, an Argent Commander, and then 2 Mysterious Challengers. I had to swap out, I ran out of dust, so I had to swap out a Mysterious Challenger and I put in an Avenge. I didn't do very well, I didn't count my first game because it was a Shaman. And I've never seen anybody concede so fast in my entire life. I basically, a Shaman appeared, they saw my Paladin, and before we even drew cards, boom, game was over. I was like, okay, I don't think I can count that one. Did not do well. I only won 1 out of the 5 games. I had to come across a Druid who had a flesh-eating goal hit 9-3 before I knew what was going on.
Ouch.
That, you know, it's +1 when a minion dies. Basically, he did swipes. So he did 2 swipes, and that pumped the ghoul. and I was just like, he obliterated me within several turns. The warrior had board dominance almost immediately. He kept killing all my small creatures. Everything was dwindling. I lost by turn 9. Did not do well with that. The hunter, he had hounds. His hounds cleared the board. Then he had snakes and explosive traps, which cleared the board, because this deck has a lot of low-level minions. It worked as intended for the warlock. I got my Christmas tree, I got to obliterate all his little minions, and everything worked beautifully, and I was like, that's how it's supposed to work. Then I came across the paladin, had absolutely nothing that could stop this paladin from coming over and smashing my face. So the deck probably, I think, would have worked better if there were some taunts. There were absolutely no taunts. I had no way of stopping anybody from coming across and hitting me. It was still fun to play, but didn't do so well when it came to winning. So that was the deck I played with this week.
Do you remember how Eye for an Eye went in the games? Like, do you ever remember getting some insane value out of it? That Paladin Secret, where if you get hit for X amount of damage, you deal that much damage back to your opponent. Because I forgot that a card existed.
Yeah, there were two of them, I think, in that deck.
Most people write that off as one of the worst cards in the Paladin repertoire, too.
Yeah, it was. It's got a pretty little graphic where it kind of gums and pings them, but unfortunately, again, it's a secret that's low level, so when I'm getting my cards out fast, maybe I was getting them out too fast because, I mean, he hit me with a one ping hit, so I hit him back for one. And, you know, it just didn't really carry.
Yeah, too bad you didn't get hit by like,
saved
12 damage Deathwing or something.
I would say that I should have saved it for later in the game, but I mean, some of these games I was dead by turn 9, so it wasn't much to say. So I'm
Black
not
Lace.
Saying... Yes.
Did you say that he had competitive spirit in there?
What's the casting cost of that?
That's
no.
A 1.6. I'm really surprised because he had such a low end on all of his minions, which means you can get a lot of minions out on the board. I'm surprised that he didn't go with the competitive spirit instead of the eye for eyes. What do you reckon, Nick?
No. No, he didn't. He didn't have any in there.
Never mind. I'm sure he's got a reason for it.
Yeah.
Maybe
well,
he didn't
I mean,
have it because it's an epic.
Oh, that's true.
That's
yeah,
possible
he might not have
too.
Had it.
I don't have one yet.
Yeah. So it was a tough... It wasn't pinging. It wasn't really doing anything. And unfortunately, it might have just been the particular classes I came across. But like the warrior, as I said, he got board dominance. And the hunter with the hounds and the snakes and the explosive traps. Anything that I brought out, all the little squires just got obliterated before I could actually pump them or do anything with them. So that was my playing with somebody else's deck. Sometimes you get a good play, sometimes you don't.
That's a nice way of saying it. Hey guys.
Yes.
We are Centurions.
We're Romans.
We have reached 100. How awesome is that?
We have.
How about that?
I was just telling Black Lace we will never again have a double-digit episode
right?
number.
Yep.
We're
hey, guys,
freeze.
if we're up to turn 100, that means we're probably playing Warrior versus Priest. I mean, I don't think anyone else could get to turn 100.
Warrior versus Warrior.
Yeah, Warrior versus Warrior, yeah.
Yeah.
That
armor
could be
up.
It.
Armor up. Armor up.
Yeah.
Can hey, you armor well, up past all that fatigue, though?
Sadly, no. Technically, we're already dead, guys, episode 100.
Some but people would have said
what?
We were dead long ago.
Yeah. But we are
curse
keeping our turns for an eternity.
Exactly. Oh, nice one. Nice one.
All right, folks. So we're going to wrap up. Mic-Mac.
Mickey
yeah,
Mac.
Awesome. Mickey thanks for Mac. Coming on, bro.
Thank you for being on the show with us.
Well,
we
thanks for having
you.
Me.
Yeah. Any of you guys have anything else to say before we do the wrap?
No, I just want Mic-Mac to tell us how fine he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm incredibly busy, but I really missed doing the podcast.
No. Tell us how fine you are.
Oh, I'm fine. Real fine. Like, I'm 11 out of 10.
No, are you
wow.
fine and dandy?
Like sour candy. There we go.
Oh, yes.
I got it. Third time's a charm.
Boy,
I wonder where he was going with that
him
as well.
On for that one. That was almost painful.
It was
all
like
right,
one
folks.
Of his signature lines.
I know. Fine and dandy. Shower to candy. Thank you for everybody in the chat room listening. Thank you, Blizzard, for creating Hearthstone and for allowing Young Wu to join us this evening. You can find us on Twitter at A Worthy Opponent. You can listen to us on Twitch TV live on Monday nights at 8 o'clock, Holosuite Media. You can email us. Please do. I still need to... It's a need now. I need to play with decks.
Sure you do.
Hey, oh you boy. Got jealous. Also, send us your plays of the week and your embarrassing moments. And as you can see, we can actually go outside of the box for those, too. Send them to awohearthstone@gmail.com. You can listen to us on iTunes. You can download us there or on Stitcher Satellite Radio. You can find us at AWO Hearthstone for Facebook. You can find us at Google Plus, A Worthy Opponent. Special thanks to Holosuite Media. The theme music provided by Awesome City Limits, the winner of last year's BlizzCon. For Micmac being on the show with us and the live game feeds he still provides every week. And you guys who made this possible, everybody.
And Black Lace.
Yes.
Let's also a shout out to Bot Dragon again.
Yes.
Well done, Bot Dragon. And thank you, Razor. And thank you, Holosuite, for the Razor headset.
Yes, yeah, Xander right. and Antita, thanks so much for giving us a headset to give away for the second time.
Mm-hmm.
We gave one away at turn 50 and now turn 100. And that's really special because he has a lot of podcasts that he produces. And I think he's starting to show us a little favoritism here. So we appreciate everything you do.
Very much.
Wanted to get that on record on turn 100.
Yes.
Agreed.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week. Happy hearthing.
Bye, the end is coming.
Yes.
So is winter.
Oh.
Not for Ugly Brew.
No. He missed it.
Did I miss it?
Of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.
Everybody get in here!
Pile on!
Oh my god!